T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America, now past 10 o'clock, so getting a little bit closer to that midnight time. We took a couple calls on impeachment before, but, you know, we're going to continue. We didn't spend a lot of time on it last hour, and I got a lot to play for you. So let's do that now. And we'll keep the phone lines open. If you want to call or text, it's 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can react to something you heard or saw today. You can react to this in general, or you can just listen to some of these curated clips. And I played a little bit of Jerry Nadler before the break. There was one moment that happened between Representative Sheila Jackson Lee and Professor Pamela Karlan. Not a lot of people looking at Pamela Karlan all that positive right now, including Representative Matt Gaetz. And that was one of the more notable moments today, and I think that's worth replaying. And even a response from the First Lady, Melania Trump, on the comments of Pamela Karlan, and also reaction from Vice President Mike Pence. I mean, it was a little heated for a moment there. So let's play this right at the start. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee.
I'd like you to look at the intelligence volume where hundreds of documents are behind that in the Mueller report. Professor Karlan, you studied the record. Do you think it is, quote, wafer thin? And can you remark on the strength of the record before us?
So obviously it's not wafer thin. And the strength of the record is not just in the the July 25th call. I think the way you need to ask about this is, how does it fit into the pattern of behavior by the president? Because what you're really doing is you're drawing inferences here. This is about circumstantial evidence as well as direct evidence. That is, you're trying to infer, did the president ask for a political favor? And I think this record supports the inference that he did.
Okay. Now, before we play, this is the part that everyone's been talking about. So we're leading into the moment that was pretty popular there. I want to point out a few things about Professor Pamela Karlan. There's a few things that you need to know about her. She's been a lifetime Democrat donor. I mean, even in the last campaign, I mean, she donated to Obama. She donated to Hillary Clinton. She donated to Elizabeth Warren. And there was moments, too. Like, let me play this for you real quick. Here is Professor Pamela Karlan, law professor, who the Democrats brought up there and said, we need to really listen to her. She's totally unbiased, totally, totally unbiased in the way that she brings this up. Here's something from not that long ago. Let me play this.
Yeah, so I was struck, I came in from the airport yesterday and I got off the bus from Dulles down at L'Enfant Plaza and I walked up to the hotel. And as I was walking past what used to be the old post office building and is now the Trump Hotel, which I had to cross the street, of course.
Are you staying there?
God, no. Never. Never. But as I was walking...
Yeah, no, she has no hatred or bias or any sort of preconceived notion against Donald Trump at all. She is so triggered by the thought of even walking by a Trump hotel that it disgusts her. Okay, yeah, we can really look at her testimony and her in opinion and believe it is unbiased. So no one's buying this sort of thing. So this is the one moment where she really, really overstepped her bounds in questioning from Representative Sheila Jackson Lee. So let's go back to the impeachment hearings from today.
What comparisons, Professor Karlan, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
Yeah, as if that wasn't something that they scripted and rehearsed. Because we all know that Representative Sheila Jackson Lee all the time goes around talking like this. No, it's not. It's not even close. This is completely rehearsed.
What comparisons, Professor Karlan, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today.
So kings could do no wrong because the king's word was law. And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son baron, he can't make him a baron.
Okay. Well, that was obviously scripted and rehearsed. That is obviously something that she thought would be her knockout moment. Oh, this is the, you know, everyone wants to get that clip out there. Oh, they all want to be the one to be on the news tonight. And oh, they want to get that last word. And she really thought that this was going to be the thing that people remember her for in a positive way, when really it's not going to be something they look at her positively, but it's something that they'll look at her in the negative. Representative Matt Gaetz criticizing her for it.
I'm very limited on time, Professor.
Yeah, in trying to invoke and bring up the president's son, who, by the way, is not an adult. He's 13 years old. 13 years old, throwing cheap shots at him. Not a good look for her at all.
I'm very limited on time, Professor. And so I just have to say, when you talk about how liberals want to be around each other and cluster, and conservatives don't want to be around each other, and so they have to spread out, it makes people, you may not see this from, you know, like the ivory towers of your law school, but it makes actual people in this country
when
feel like,
excuse me,
you don't get to interrupt me on this time. Now, let me also suggest that when you invoke the president's son's name here, when you try to make a little joke out of referencing Barron Trump, that does not lend credibility to your argument. It makes you look mean. It makes you look like you're attacking someone's family, the minor child of the president of the United States. So let's see if we can get into the facts. To all of the witnesses, if you have personal knowledge of a single material fact in the Schiff report, please raise your hand. And let the record reflect, no personal knowledge of a single fact. And you know what? That continues on the tradition that we saw from Adam Schiff, where Ambassador Taylor could not identify an impeachable offense. Mr. Kent never met with the president. Fiona Hill never heard the president reference anything regarding military aid. Mr. Hale was unaware of any nefarious activity with aid. Colonel Vindman even rejected the new Democrat talking point that bribery was invoked here. Ambassador Volker denied that there was a quid pro quo, and Mr. Morrison said there was nothing wrong on the call. The only direct evidence came from Gordon Sondland, who spoke to the President of the United States, and the President said, I want nothing, no quid pro quo. And you know what? If wiretapping a political opponent's an impeachable offense, I look forward to reading that Inspector General's report, because maybe it's a different president we should be impeaching.
Ooh, man, that's dynamite right there. Now, that's how you, you know, when they try to pre-manufacture these moments, oh, we're really going to get that Donald Trump now. Oh, we're really going to get him. I got this great line about Barron and Barons. Oh, he's no king. He just set me up for this. And they're playing a softball matchup, and let's just throw the softball at him. Oh, just set me up. Tee me up for it. Well, didn't that backfire? And good for Representative Matt Gaetz for doing that. 314-436-7900. That's the number. Also, 800-925-1120. I have a couple of more moments I want to play from this. Jonathan Turley, I think, deserves his point of view to get it out there. They did their best to try to bury it, mostly because when you have it controlled by Democrats in the committees that are looking at these sort of things, they bring in the special counsel. Here's the lawyer for the Democrats that are trying to oversee the Democratic Party. They ignore the counterpoints purposely because they want to bring in the ones that are the cheerleaders that have their clear bias. They want to bring in their ones that just have the cheap shots, like you heard from Pamela Karen there, or Carlin. They want to bring in the ones that have all of these different opinions that they say, oh, man, if we can get this opinion on someone of such high profile, a Harvard professor, a Stanford professor, you know, they try to make it sound like everyone's so impressed, like, oh, my goodness, you're a professor at Harvard. You must be the smartest person in the history of the world. No one's bowing down to them. No one's bending a knee and saying, please, oh, wise one, tell us how to think. All they're doing is hearing opinions at this point, and they're trying to impeach on opinions. And that's what was the general feel a week ago. That was the feel 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a year ago, two years ago. Back in 2016, the day after President Trump won the election, that was the feel. They're going to try to get rid of him based on the feelings that they have, the opinions that they have. And it really doesn't correspond or necessarily even line up with anything that actually happened. It's been their MO. It's how they've been trying to fight this. We're almost at the end of the Trump's first term, President Trump's first term, and they still haven't been able to find a right way to do it. So they're going to continue on this path. It's disappointing, to say the least. But maybe you're listening to me right now and you're fuming. Call me. Tell me why. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America, KMOX. Here it is, Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. We got a couple other clips I wanted to play for you. Jonathan Turley is the representative from the Republicans. They were allowed to put one person up there. The Democrats put three. They decided on Jonathan Turley, who said he did not vote for Donald Trump and wanted to point out that this is a very dangerous precedent that we're putting ourselves into. Actually gave a couple of interesting examples of just how abusive the committee has been when it comes to this impeachment inquiry. So let's put this. What about the dangerous precedent he brings up? I'll take some of your calls at 314-436-7900. Right now, no one's calling in. Does no one care about this? I hate this. Every week. Oh, they've been dragging this thing along. No one cares about the impeachment. Then no one calls in, or people call in and say, oh, I don't care about it. This is stupid. This happens over and over again. There's actually a day when something happened, and I thought for sure this would be the day people would want to talk about it. So I bring it back up today after, for the most part, skimming over it the last couple of days because nothing exciting's happened over the past week. And then look at that. No one cares to talk about it. Maybe this is the true litmus test of it all. This is a big nothing burger, as they would say in 2016. All right, so let's play some more Jonathan Turley here. And I wanted to get a couple of his comments out there because they were squashed during this proceeding.
President Trump will not be our last president. And what we leave in the wake of this scandal will shape our democracy for generations to come. I'm concerned about lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger.
Yep.
I believe this impeachment not only fails to satisfy the standard of past impeachments, but would create a dangerous precedent for future impeachments.
They have lowered the bar. If you go through with this, you are lowering the bar in setting a dangerous precedent. Ain't that the truth? When you see these things happening, and they go through ebbs and flows. When Barack Obama was president of the United States, everyone said, oh, just wait, you know, one day there'll be a Republican in there and they'll do the same thing to that person. And everyone knew it was coming. So they said, oh, you reap what you sow, Republicans, you were too hard on Barack Obama. Well, it's come back about tenfold just how unfair people have been to Donald Trump during this whole time frame. Imagine if it just goes down a little bit worse. I mean, let's say Donald Trump is reelected in 2020, because that's the way it looks right now. And then in 2024, let's say a Democrat wins the office. What do you think is going to happen at that point? Do you think that they may try to use this as another tool? You lower the bar, and anytime something happens, they're just going to continue to this strategy, maybe hit it about 10 times harder, and just use this same circus playbook and do it over again? You better believe it. You better believe it. If you set that bar, that's what's going to happen. A little more from Jonathan Turley.
My testimony explores the impeachment cases of Nixon, Johnson, and Clinton. The closest of these three cases is to the 1868 impeachment of Andrew Johnson. It is not a model or an association that this committee should relish. In that case, a group of opponents of the president's called the Radical Republicans created a trapdoor crime in order to impeach the president. They even defined it as a high misdemeanor. There was another shared aspect besides the atmosphere of that impeachment and also the unconventional style of the two presidents. And that shared element is speed. This impeachment would rival the Johnson impeachment as the shortest in history, depending on how one counts the relevant days. Now, there are three distinctions when you look at these, or the three commonalities when you look at these past cases. All involved established crimes. This would be the first impeachment in history where there would be considerable debate, and in my view, not compelling evidence of the commission of a crime. Second is the abbreviated period of this
investigation, which is problematic and puzzling. This is a facially incomplete and inadequate record in order to impeach a president.
Uh-huh. And I think he's right on. He's right on for this. You have the other law professors from the very well-established schools that, you know, a lot of times when you get to the far left, they feel like you got to bow down on one knee and they need to just spew their wisdom on you. Please tell me how to think, professor. They feel like most people in America would fall for that. I don't think they would. Let me take some of your calls at 314-436-7900. Then you get Professor Jonathan Turley there. He's at George Washington University. And what he's saying is, based on what we've seen before and what the thresholds are, this is lowering the bar. Here's where it is in history. This is where we are now. Let me get to John, who's calling in Ferguson. Hi.
Hey, Ryan. How you doing tonight?
Good.
This stuff is all giving me a headache, you know?
I know. It's a long migraine that has been stretched out over, what, 3-4 weeks now?
Yeah, I talked to you before about the Federalist Papers and all that. I've called in before about this. And as you know, I'm not a Trump supporter, and that's okay. But I think the Democrats really screwed up today by bringing these clowns up here to testify. If you go on Twitter, you know, some of the people were saying, well, they were brought there to educate the American people on the nuances of the law and everything else. And they came across as nothing but snobby elitists who and I've hung with those people before. I worked in Democratic Party politics for almost 20 years back in the 80s and, you know, in the 80s primarily. And in the late 70s. So back when politics was a lot different than it is now, I left the Democratic Party. But anyway, that's another whole story. But I think they just made a real mistake by doing this. And it's turned into the clown show that I predicted it would be when this all first started. This whole thing is being litigated on cable news and on Twitter. And if you think you got a case, impeach the guy, take it to the Senate, and let the chips fall where they may. Either they either remove him or they don't remove him. But, you know, I would have preferred they not even impeach the guy. I thought it was a mistake from the get-go. This is why we have elections. You don't like the guy, throw him out. Vote him out of office, okay? Nominate a good Democrats, nominate a good candidate. If you might have a chance of defeating him if you don't like this guy's record. And I don't like his record. I agree with some of the things he's tried to do, especially with NATO and some of the other things, but I just don't think he's a very honorable human being. But that's another whole issue. But this whole clown show of litigating this on cable news for CNN sound bites or Fox News sound bites, and both sides are guilty of it. Matt Gaetz, the same thing. I mean, him and Jim Jordan, all they do is yell and scream and make their points, and then they move on, and then they go out and hold a news conference and show up on Hannity at night, you know? I think we just need to move on with this. If you're going to impeach him, impeach him. If not, you know, pull the plug. Let's go to the election, and I predict he's going to win re-election in 2020.
Yeah, and it's not a pull the plug moment for the Democrats. I mean,
they will never pull the plug.
Yeah, and this is a strictly political move for them, and they've been, I guess, salivating over this moment for the past couple of years, ever since he became into office. That's the goal of theirs. This is the pinnacle of the mountain. They felt like this is the right time to strike with it. When you see these things and you go into these different circles, I think most people could understand that there is a lot of opinion that has gone into this. And when you go and try to remove a president based on your opinion of things that could be debated and defended, it's not a strong case. And I like what Jonathan Turley mentioned there. He said, you know, we have a branch in the government. We have a judicial branch that could handle these things, but you're deciding not to go through that way. You're going through the court of public opinion. That should say something. That's how you're lowering the bar to remove someone from the presidency now.
Yeah, and you know, it's just a situation where impeachment, as I mentioned to you last time I called and when I talked about Hamilton, and I think it was Federalist 67, where he talked about being a political act rather than a legal act. And that's what this has become. He talked about how the passions were going to rule this whole thing rather than objective facts. And that a person may be innocent of high crimes and misdemeanors, but the political passion will cause him to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going on here. Both sides, and this is what's so pathetic about politics in this country now, both sides are so dug in so deeply that neither side listens to what the other side is saying anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a husband and wife on the verge of divorce. They yell and scream at each other, but nobody's hearing what the other side is saying.
There you go.
And we've got to break this cycle. And get back to, I mean, when I was working in politics, you could be vehemently in disagreement with somebody else. I had Republican friends. We would argue over, you know, all kinds of stuff. Each of us respected the other side's opinion, and you could always go out and have a beer afterwards. Mm. You know, it was never a personal thing. Where now it's so personal.
Oh yeah, and, yes it is.
And this isn't good for the country. And I think the conduct today and the conduct of the Republicans with the way that they've reacted to all this and just the whole cable news thing that feeds off all this is not good for the Republic. I fear for the country. I really do, because, you know, we're so politicized and polemic now that I don't know if we'll recover from this.
Yep.
And I'm old enough to remember Watergate in Vietnam, and this is just as bad, if not worse, in its own way.
All right, John, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. Enjoy the show.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. And I'm going to get to Terry. We went a little bit long on that last call, but Terry, hold on. We're going to get to the weather, and we'll get right back to you. There was one moment on MSNBC I think is the telling moment. And MSNBC, you know, pretty far left organization in their commentaries. They went up there, and when they're analyzing the testimony today, their conclusion is you really don't need an underlying crime to get rid of Donald Trump. I want that to sink in. You don't need a crime. What do you think this is all about? If that's their mindset right now. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX. The voice of the Cardinals.
All right, how about we take some more of your calls? And we do have phone lines open right now for you at 314-436-7900. Or maybe you're listening, you're driving, you're working, whatever it is, and you just happen to find this show. We're live every weeknight, and you can call 800-925-1120 anytime. Terry has been holding on. Hi, Terry.
How you doing?
Good.
You know, I got to watch a lot of it, didn't get to watch all of it, but my take over the last couple weeks of all these hearings and everything, that the Democrats are being childish. They're just so childish in the way they're reacting, and they're doing something even though they know it's not right. And it's aggravating, and I don't know why the Republicans don't do something like start investigations on, you know, Nadler or Schiff or something, because they've been, I think Turley said it exactly. He said, "Mr. Chairman, you are obstructing justice."
This is
basically
this is an abuse of power. What you're accusing this president of, you're doing right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very true.
And it's so aggravating. It just seems like all the Republicans are doing is, defending. And, you know, I respect what the previous caller said, but the Republicans are acting that way because they have to defend themselves instead of, you know, being able to be reactive or on the offense. They have to be on the defense, and they're not being treated well.
Yeah.
I mean, who goes in and said, I need some clarifications on these rules? And, you know, because this one term is not very specific. And can I get some clarification? No, we'll just rule on the rules.
Yeah.
And
walking
that's what
in
he did at the very
there.
Beginning.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we'll make it up. You know, why don't they just say we'll make it up as we go?
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. And it's just aggravating. And I have a feeling that Trump is probably going to win by a landslide because of everything that they're doing. And it's like you said, it's the same MO. They've done it. They just changed the name.
With the rule thing, I think there's a pretty clear reason why they're doing it the way they're doing it is because they already know where it's going to go. So it doesn't matter how they get there. It's, you know, the ends justify the means. So as long as they get to the end, they're just they're it doesn't matter if the procedures are right or wrong. They know where they're going to take this. So to them, they're not taking it as serious.
And Jordan even made the statement. He goes, why don't we just go ahead and do this? You've already got the impeachment thing written up.
Yeah, exactly.
You've already got it written up.
Yeah, let's
so,
just get this over with.
You know,
with
we're not doing anything here. And why are they, if they say they're trying to inform the public, well, that's not their job.
Yeah.
Why don't you go back to Washington and do your job? Because you haven't since you got there two and a half years ago now.
Very good. Thank you, Terry.
Good to hear
from you. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Yeah, the good points by Terry there. If you want to get your points on the air, you still can. We do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900. And Sherman's calling in from Belleville. Hi.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Sorry, I sort of chimed in midstream here. Just got off of work. But I did get in part of that when you were saying that people are not taking the opportunity to call in.
Yeah.
I just got a couple of points that I think are important and valid. I think nobody's looking at the media. First of all, we need to look at the media and we need to discover how important and how powerful the media is. Everyone's using the media, whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, and it's swaying the voters. It's mixing the voters up. They're throwing so much stuff at you at one time. Now, I love to watch, get up in the morning and watch the proceedings, see what's going on, because I want to be informed. I want to find out what's facts, what's trash, what's not, what's true, what's false. And the reason why you have so many people so upset because of all of this, and this is the outside, whether you're Democrat, Republican, because we grew up with this. You know, people are homegrown Democrats. People are homegrown Republicans. So they are taking offense, and we're forgetting about ourselves. I heard one caller earlier that said it is tearing the country apart. It is. And not all of it is the Democrats against Donald Trump. He's sabotaging himself. And not of it, all of it is the Republicans. They're right as well on some of the issues. And that's what happens when you want to poison somebody. You just throw a little poison in there. And
well,
you
let me, I got a question for something you said a little bit ago. And you said that you like to wake up and you'll watch these hearings and these procedural things that are going down. Excuse me. So you say you do that because you want to stay informed. What have you learned from watching these? What have they informed you of that you believe isn't just opinion?
Well, I've learned from actually both sides. I've seen them posturing. I mean, just on social issues, just on, and what I mean by that, just on things like how they are treating, I think it was Turley, how did the Democrats treat the Turley, and they sort of snubbed him. These guys do have a list and how they're going to proceed. So then you get the Republicans that come in, and then they don't talk to the other three. They just talk to Turley. And so I'm looking at trying to look at the big picture and learn, because I know both sides have ulterior motives. You know, I think some things are wrong about the impeachment. I haven't made my final conclusion. I haven't come to that end. But some things are right. Both sides are, like I said, both sides so far are right. And I think they're both trying to muddy the water. And whether he wins or he doesn't win, I think this is going to be some historical things that happens. Because what if he wins again and then the Democrats take more of the House or more of the Senate? Then it's just going to be a big fight. And then people forget a lot of things that happened in the past when the previous president, they were like, our whole agenda is going to be to block him on everything. I think all of them should be fired.
Get rid of them all. All right. Well, that's the thing. I think most people don't trust Congress. I think most people believe they should all be fired. But at the same time, there's the same people that would say that are the ones that are trusting in them to do this right, which they're not. So there's, I don't know how we can have any trust in them to begin with.
But let me make one more comment before you go, because I know you have to go. But I think what's really important, we do need people out there like you guys that are trying to be fair-minded, trying to get more information to the public, because if we do, we need a common sense party. We need people who are strong enough to say, if this person's right, they're right. You know, I like some of the policies that Trump passed. I like some of the policies that Obama passed. I hate some of the policies that Obama passed, and I hate some of the things that Trump has done. So we need a, I don't know if we need more of a third party in there, or we just need a mix up, but we definitely need you guys that will come in and say, hey, listen, this is fact. This is not my opinion. This is not how I feel, because there's too many feelings out there.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Sherman. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of feelings. We're not short of feelings. We're not short of opinions. That's the problem. I mean, you're trying to remove a president from office based on opinions. And the thing is, just like Jonathan Turley brought up, they could be defended. You can't positively use that as evidence, because what you're doing is you're trying to interpret it in your own biased way. And that's the problem that we're seeing with this. You're going to lower the bar of impeachment if that's all you got. And I think a lot of people recognize this, and I think that's why a lot of people are deciding not to participate in this until it actually gets to the point where they have to defend it, which I think it'll be a pretty easy defense. All things considered, you're going to have the Republicans still in the majority in the Senate that are going to vote on this, and you're not going to sway 20 people over the other way. So that's just the way it is. Based on what we're seeing right now, it's all for nothing. It's all for nothing. Well, if that was the answer was we want to be able to put on a fair impeachment hearing, and we want to keep things honest, and we want to inform the public, they already know where it's going. But that's not the motives here. The real motives, they're playing this out, is try to hurt their political opponent as much as possible going into the 2020 election. And it's exactly what Jonathan Turley brought up. It's an abuse of power. You're doing exactly what you're accusing the president of.
If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You're doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
And that's Jonathan Turley again. And there's a longer statement. Maybe I'll play that right after the break when it comes to the courts and how they could play a role in this. But it's not what the Democrats want right now. He doesn't say it by the Democrats, but you can take that. But also MSNBC, I think, really cuts down exactly their motives, and they know what they're doing here. You don't really need an underlying crime, they're saying. You can remove the president. You don't need a crime. And that's exactly how it's playing out. And they say that as a way not to point out as a criticism for how these proceedings are happening. They're using it as a way of matter of fact, as in, here's what your strategy should be, Democrats. You really don't have to have anything other than opinion, because that's the way things go. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
We only got a couple minutes here, so I wanted to get this out. So here's the full clip of Professor Jonathan Turley. You know, this is an abuse of power. I agree.
Now, recently, there are some rulings against President Trump, including a ruling involving Don McGahn. Mr. Chairman, I testified in front of you a few months ago. And if you recall, we had an exchange, and I encouraged you to bring those actions. And I said I thought you would win, and you did. And I think it was an important win for this committee, because I don't agree with President Trump's argument in that case. But that's an example of what can happen if you actually subpoena witnesses and go to court. Then you have an obstruction case, because a court issues an order. And unless they stay that order by a higher court, you have obstruction. But I can't emphasize this enough, and I'll say it just one more time. If you impeach a president If you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You're doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
Very good. It's well worth playing that entire clip. And by the way, it's not about the evidence in general. It's about opinion, because obviously MSNBC, they got it all figured out.
There's a larger stupidity here that's important, because Americans are watching this. You don't need an underlying crime to remove a president.
Correct.
Not only because
you also don't need an underlying crime to obstruct justice, which was
right. No, you don't.
Parallel, right?
Exactly. And the reason is very simple. Before you get to all of this big fancy talk, there's all sorts
I like
of things.
That. You know, you need to. We're not going to bother you with this big fancy talk. We're not going to bother you with things like, you know, evidence and facts. You know all that big fancy talk. We just need to know that you don't need an underlining crime, which is true. What do you think the president talks about when he uses the term witch hunt when it comes to this impeachment? What do you think is going to happen when he has to defend himself against these accusations? And they can point to the fact that there's no crime here, but they try to make it out to one. Their crime is their opinion. It's Overnight America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.